Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Our first reading this morning is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 14, starting with the 6th verse. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read with me the catechetical review found on the inside of your bulletin, the second article, Redemption. "And in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead." What does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord, who has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as he is risen from the dead, lives and reigns to all eternity. This is most certainly true. Our epistle reading this morning is from Romans chapter 3, starting with the 19th verse. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for the Reformation, for the celebration of the Reformation, from St. John, the 8th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are the offspring of Abraham, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you for the gift of our salvation completely and totally through Jesus alone. Thank you, Father, for that wonderful gift, and help us to continue to keep our eye on your word, that we might live in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a fan of Western crime dramas, you might have seen this show. It's about a cowboy hat-wearing rogue U.S. deputy marshal named Raylan Gibbons. And Raylan loves to do things his own way. The very first scene of the very pilot episode, he's sitting across the table from a Miami gun thug and he shoots him. And when his supervisor asks him afterward if it was legal, he says what he says throughout the drama: "I was justified." Now, if you know anything about the show, Raylan uses the law to his advantage, steps over the other side of the law, does what he needs to do to get the job done. And he always says, "I was justified." It's a tension in the show all the way along, because he's clearly not doing what he should be doing. But the theme comes up: "I was justified. I got the job done. I'm okay." "I'm justified" is a theme that runs through our world as well, and it's really not much different than Raylan's. We have this conversation with God all the time. "I'm justified. I'm right. I'm doing okay. I'm better than most." We like to justify ourselves in front of God in two ways primarily. The first way is we like to shift the blame. We'll make it somebody else's fault. We can blame Adam and Eve for that if you want to justify yourself and say, "It's not my fault, it's Adam and Eve's, because they were the ones that showed us how to do this." It was really easy for Adam in the garden after they had both eaten from the tree that God said not to eat from. And when a good and a gracious, a creating and a loving God comes looking for Adam and Eve to restore them, Adam shifted the blame. "God, it was the woman you gave me. It's not my fault. I'm justified." And then God speaks to Eve and she does the same thing. "Well, the serpent deceived me and I ate. It's not my fault. I'm justified." Eve did the same. Adam did the same. Through the centuries, we've learned that same trick. We've learned to do the same with God, to shift the blame of whatever's going on in our world to someone or something else and say to God, "It's not my fault. I'm justified." This is what it sounds like in our world today in various conversations that I've had with people. "Oh, Pastor, I know we should be in church. I know the kids should be in Sunday school and youth group and we should be in Bible study, but do you know how busy we are? We have got something going on every night of the week. We're chasing kids to soccer, to football, to basketball, to volleyball, to cross country. And then not only that, but work obligations too. We are so busy, Pastor. We'll try to do better." Did you hear it? "I'm justified. I'm justified not being in church and receiving his good works because I'm so busy." Here's a conversation that's much harder. "How dare you? How dare you tell me that I can't feel this way? How dare you tell me I'm wrong? You tell me, God's word tells me, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, created by God in his image, and yet I have these feelings of same-sex attraction for someone, and you tell me I'm wrong. How dare you? I'm justified by my feelings, not by Christ. The third one is, again, falling into this same blame game. I'm justified not coming to church, Pastor, because I really don't like the liturgy. It's stuffy. It's the same. It doesn't do anything. It has no pizzazz. The music is 15th century. Come on. Get on board. Do something different. I actually had someone say to me once they quit coming to church because their pastor didn't wear socks. I'm justified. I'll put my eternal salvation on the line because the pastor didn't wear socks. Do you see what happens? We put ourselves in the position of saying to God, it's not my fault. If the pastor would just wear socks, if the church would just have a different liturgy, if the church would change the music, then I would be there. And it's not that issue. It's the fact that we think that we can say to God, it's not my fault, and that will take me off the hook. Listen to what Paul says. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. There is no escaping the law of God. No matter how well you are, no matter how good you are at shifting the blame to someone else, there is no way to get out from under God's law. Every lawbreaker is a sinner. Every sinner deserves death. There's another way we try to justify ourselves between a holy and a righteous God, and it's really quite ingenious. Instead of shifting the blame away from me and the things that I'm doing, we grab God's attention. We say, look at me, focus on me, look at all of the good things I'm doing. I'm holy and righteous. And that happens so often. The Pharisees loved to use this. If you remember through the scriptures, the Pharisees, the ones who were really good at keeping the law, so they thought. There's a Pharisee that Jesus tells a parable about. He's in the temple. He's standing here praying. There's another guy over here. He's a real sinner. And he's beating his breast and bowing. And the Pharisee's standing there. And he says it like this. He says it loud enough so everybody not only can hear, but can really hear. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I give. Can you hear it? Can you hear him patting himself on the back so much he almost falls over? Can you hear him pulling God's attention right to him at all of the things that he's doing in his world? God, look at me. Look at how great I am. I am justified by my works. Last week when Pastor Rajek was here, he reminded us that if you break one part of one commandment, you're guilty of breaking it all. And all of that law focuses and falls on you. Being justified before a holy and a righteous God is not a matter of some cosmic balancing act where we have the eternal scales and we have to do more good than bad. You are completely and totally justified by Christ alone, holy and forgiven in thought, word, and deed, or you are a lawbreaker, a sinner that deserves eternal death. Listen to Paul again. Now we know whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth might be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. Shifting the blame, making excuses, all of that will continue to keep us guilty under the law. Doing more good than evil, does not take away the law's death sentence to us. Dear saints, there is no way to justify yourself before a holy and a righteous God. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Paul didn't just write this for the people of his time. He wrote it for us. There is only one way to be justified, and it never, ever involves anything you do or say. And I have to say that again because we let that sneak into our world. There is no way to be justified on your own by anything you do, think, or say. Your justification always comes from outside of you, and it only comes through Jesus. Listen to Paul. But now a righteousness from God has been manifest apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? We're justified by grace as a gift through Jesus Christ alone. You are right now holy and justified completely by the work that Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. Look how freeing that is. I don't have to try to impress God. I don't have to try to revert from shifting the blame anymore. I can look at my sin and know it's mine. I don't like it. I repent of it. But it is my sin. And I freely confess that before a holy and a righteous God. And what does he do? He points us to Jesus and he says, look, you're forgiven because of what Jesus did on the cross. He doesn't add anything to it. He doesn't say, all right, now you're mostly justified. Now you have to do this and this and this and then we'll be good. We confess. And God does what he does best. He points us to our salvation. He points us to what Jesus has already done on the cross for you and reminds us that we are justified by Christ alone. Our holy and a righteous God doesn't expect us to do something that we're incapable of doing. And so many people think that somehow we're able to justify ourselves before God. Well, try this. If you are dead, not breathing, rigor mortis dead, can you decide to be alive? Even just a little bit alive? Can you decide to come from death to life? You can't. And we're dead in our sins and trespasses outside of God's gifts. And we cannot decide to do better. We cannot decide to be alive. But God in his grace and mercy reaches into our deadness and forgives us. He pulls us from our own grave and gives us faith. And points us to the cross to say, look at your salvation right there in Christ alone. He's done it all. You're free. You have eternal life. You are holy. You are justified in God's eyes. All because of Jesus. When Jesus was on the cross that Good Friday and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That was for you. So that you would never hear those words. So that you would never speak those words. So that when you come as a sinner broken by your own sin in thought, word, and deed, and you confess it, you walk out knowing completely that you are justified because of what Jesus alone did on the cross. You're forgiven and you're free. So many people today understand salvation as cooperation. God loves you. You fell into sin. He sent Jesus to do the most of it. You have to do your part, and all of that works together for your salvation. It does not work that way. You're dead in your sin and trespass. You've been taken out of the game. But God, in his grace and mercy, sent Jesus to come into our world, to be born of the Virgin Mary, just as he said, to be baptized into our sin, to live the perfect life, to preach his word of hope and promise, grace and mercy, and then to go to the cross for you, to bear all of that suffering, pain, and death for you, so that his justification would be given to you and you would be holy and righteous before Christ. Not because of anything you've done, simply because of his great love for you. Now, instead of fear of the law, or trying to be driven by the law to do more and to do better and to look holy in God's eyes, we live in faith and joy and freedom. Yes, the sin of our world is still upon us. Yes, we continue to do things that we shouldn't do. And we stand before a holy and a righteous God and we confess, I did it. Me, thought, word, and deed. But because of Jesus on the cross, please forgive me. And God says, you're justified by Christ alone. Amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.